The following program was pre-recorded. Welcome to Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox on AM 1240 KASO, presented by Advanced EMS, a monthly program where we will take questions from you to ask the mayor of Minden. And now let's join the program. And good morning. We are here on AM 1240 KASO. This is our inaugural edition of Ask the Mayor with Mayor Nick Cox. Mayor, thank you for joining us, and appreciate you hitting the firing line, if you will. Glad you could join us. Thank you for being here today.
Well, thanks, Mark. I'm really appreciative of the opportunity.
Well, this is something you and I talked about, and it kind of came about rather quickly, so we were hoping to get some questions in for the inaugural edition, and we had a few that came in. Of course, I'm hoping as this goes, we'll have more folks participate, but this was one of those we literally met last week, and here we are this week, so kind of a quick turnaround for this, and just for transparency and so folks will know, this is a pre-recorded program, and our plan is, and myself and the mayor have both agreed on this, we thought that the week after the council meeting would be a great time to have this, because obviously there's some information in each council meeting, and those meetings generally go pretty quick, so this would allow you to have an opportunity to maybe talk a little bit more in detail on some of the items. Some of it's procedural stuff, obviously, you don't need a lot of questions about, but there's some things in, for instance, this week's council meeting that we will talk about as this program goes on. So just to let folks know, these are not necessarily all going to be softball questions. There'll be some tough questions, I'm sure, that'll come in as we go. And I say all that to start with a softball question. We haven't really talked with you since you've been elected as mayor, so kind of tell us how this first 6 months has gone for you.
Well, the first 6 months, some have described it as standing in front of a fire hose. It seemed it seemed like there were things coming from every direction. You know, with the circumstances that happened last year with Mayor Terry Gardner, and then that absence and that void of time, and then a pro tem mayor took over, Wayne Edwards, and then we switched to interim mayor Tommy Davis. It was just, there was just a lot of things that were, I would say, a bit put off until a more permanent mayor came into office, and so I had a lot of work to do. And I'm, don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for everyone who preceded me and the roles that they played during all that transition time, but it's been very busy. Some folks think that the mayor just is the center, like the show face of the city, but really at City Hall, it's nonstop, whether it's the citizens with issues you can never predict.
Absolutely.
Or employees with issues you can never predict, or other issues that come along. You can't, you know, one thing I try to do is live by faith day by day, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, because I never know what tomorrow is going to bring. I have my plans, but usually they get put to the side by some sort of emergency.
You know, the best laid plans type
That's
situation.
Right.
Well, what are, you know, people talk about, well, what does the mayor do? Talk about an average day. How many hours are we talking about as Mayor Nick Cox?
Well, I tried to be here when City Hall is open primarily. That's from 7:30 till 4 o'clock. I generally will be in the office unless I'm in a meeting that's outside of City Hall. A pretty good bit of my time is spent, especially in this, and this is intentional this first year. I think folks don't realize the city at the moment has 222 employees. So there's all kinds of personnel things that come up, but I really wanted to spend this year trying to get it structured in a way I thought would work really well, try to get it to where it's as efficient with the leadership as possible. So I spend a lot of my time kind of tweaking the hierarchy up here to get it to flow better.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's kind of jump into some of the questions we will fire away. Obviously, one that's kind of it's kind of a a more recent event that happened, and that was last week, where we had the great panic of the power outage of Minden last week. So, if you will, Mayor, kind of go into what happened and what kind of led to all of that, and what ended up happening out of all of that.
I anticipated this might be a question.
Yeah.
That day, the number one question was, am I in the northeast corner?
Exactly.
So I can just tell you what happened from my point of view. It was midday on that day. Excuse me. It was midday on that day, and the public works director, Tyler Wallace, came to me and said, Mayor, we've got an issue. We have a third-party company that comes in and inspects the substations, and they were going through Shepherd Street substation, and they open and shut things or look at how things operate there, and they noticed that one of the switches wasn't making a good contact, and it it was arcing across there. So that is identified as a potential threat or a problem to our system that would have caused really major issues in the future, so we needed to get it repaired right away. And the question was, because we had the right to just go repair it. We
Absolutely.
Could have at that moment turned it off and fixed it. And that's totally within what we could do. Mm-hmm. And in some circumstances, we probably will have to do that. But in this one, we were able to plan it out. But we wanted to take care of it quick because of this heat and different storms we're having. We don't want any weak links in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So we planned it for 10 o'clock. And then the question was, who all would be affected in this situation? And when they told me Walmart, I said, we need to notify Walmart. So I had one of our people go notify Walmart, because when you have people in the store and the power goes out, it's not the best setup for law and order.
Anarchy will ensue, yeah.
So I wanted Walmart to have a heads up, because I knew, I Googled it, saw they close at 11. And so I said, well, let's give them a heads up. Then, you know, I said, let's go ahead and let people know. And I was a little torn because I knew it wasn't going to be off very long. And again, we had the right just to shut it off.
Absolutely.
And not telling, you know, just
take care of the
issue.
Shut
it off and fix it. That's part of maintaining the system. But instead, I notified people. Well, then we internally, the public works director, Russell Poole, also from the steam plant, we were talking about the map, and we drew a map. And then we got to talking about it, and we weren't sure who would be in that map. And the map, and looking back at it, if we would have released the map, we would have had five times the people that actually were affected in that
mm-hmm.
map. So
exactly.
Our map was loosely accurate, but a big overshot of who it actually went out.
Yeah.
And so we didn't release a map. We decided we'd just say it's kind of this area. And chaos ensued.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like you and I had that conversation. I remember sending you a text message that afternoon. I'd gone down to the convenience store just around from the radio station, and the first thing I get asked is, do you know anything about this citywide power outage? And I said, no, but I know a guy I can call. So here we go back and forth on text. And, of course, the running joke was, I think you have a leak at the city.
Right. Surprisingly, you almost knew before I did.
Man, that's crazy.
Well, because we had called Walmart.
Because of Walmart,
Walmart
yeah.
posted it, I believe, on their door and said, citywide outage.
Which was slightly off.
Then we had calls. It's kind of funny. We had calls, is it Paris-wide? We even had people asking if it was Paris-wide, which those are across the Paris, you have three or four different electrical systems,
yeah,
you know, with Claiborne Electric Energy.
And, you know, it's kind of interesting, though, when you think about the power grid in the city of Minden, I would imagine it would be kind of difficult to pinpoint exactly what it's going to be, because this is a system that has kind of evolved over the years as the city's expanded. So you really, unless you shut it off, you really don't know.
That's right. And that's exactly it. The city evolves. You may have a street that's half developed. 10 years later, the other half will be developed.
Exactly.
That system can't take anymore, so you pull it from a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole line crew that did, let's say, Claiborne Avenue or Goud Avenue or Victory Drive, or they're all retired. So
nobody remembers.
Yeah. It's an evolution of of how it's set up.
Now, how many substations are there in the city?
There are four. There, now, you're quizzing me here.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Shepherd Street, Germantown, East Street, and the steam plant.
So that's the four main hubs that feed the city. And the main, where do the main lines come in? I may be putting you really on the spot now.
pass.
All right. That's an honest answer.
I think it's I believe it's through Germantown.
Through Germantown.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah, I do know. I can always know that when my lights come back on, I can see the Germantown substation from my street. So I always know once I get power there, I should be up
live.
Pretty quick. So that's always a good thing. But apparently this was a quick fix. So you guys were able to get it. The crew was able to get it up in about an hour or so.
It was a quick fix, but a temporary one. They told me this week that we're going to have to switch.
Put a new switch in.
Replace that switch permanently or for a more long-lasting resolution there. But we have to order it. It may be a while before a new switch comes in.
Sounds like a common theme anywhere. No matter what. Yeah, everything hits and it's hard to get supplies. So staying on that theme, the line crew has been a busy bunch here over the last month. We had first of June, we had like 3 out of 4 nights, bam, 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 thunderstorms come through. Parts are a lot, large sections of the city were out, and those guys were out. And, you know, the overwhelming theme from folks in the city was the lights were out, but the light crew, as soon as they were able to get out and start working on it, lights were back up pretty quick.
That's right. They're the for sure the MVPs of the month or two, for sure for June. They were out nearly every night for a week solid.
Wow.
And it began to get at first it was super stressful. And then, for me, it got kind of comical. It's like, here we are again.
Same song,
second
verse.
And then we go out. But, yeah, when you think about those guys, when most people are in their house, you know, during a storm, those guys are up in a bucket truck in the sky around electrical lines.
With weather.
Often in power outage, so everything's dark with the weather. It's really impressive what they do.
Yeah, and they, like I said, were dealing with that. And we were fortunate we didn't get the severe weather from that one major storm that came through that Shreveport and kind of west of us kind of got. It kind of went south of us. So we were kind of spared from the majority of that. But one good thing, sales tax probably will show a big boon there for a couple of days when everybody came to Minden.
This is kind of a joke. For sure a joke, but I said, I know how we can boost Minden's economy. We close down Shreveport Bossier.
Just let them come to us. And, you know, I thought the city kind of handled it fairly well. I mean, the gas stations were able to kind of replenish fairly quickly. Of course, restaurants weren't as lucky because that's kind of a fixed shipping deal. So when they ran out, they ran out. But I guess that's kind of a good problem to have. I mean, you're selling out of your inventory. So if you can't be open, it's there's a reason.
I heard that fuel supplies that would normally be sent to Shreveport Bossier were being diverted to like places like Minden. Mm-hmm. So we'd have extra. And I would assume that probably the fast food chains probably did the same thing.
May have been able to, but it was kind of interesting traffic situation there for a couple of days. Homer Road kind of looked like Airline Drive.
I was going to say, Homer Road turned into Airline Drive.
Yeah, it really did.
Felt like prosperity to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of a making lemonade out of lemons kind of situation. And, you know, thankfully, for the most part, maybe folks got to see a good side of Minden. You know, you hear, you know, the negative stuff's always going to be the first thing to lead on the news, but maybe folks got to see the charm side of Minden.
I think you're right. I got a lot of feedback that people were coming to Minden that never had a reason to before and then took note that, hey, Minden's a neat place. It's just a neat city.
Well, we'll be back in just a minute with more with Minden Mayor Nick Cox on Ask the Mayor on AM 1240 KASO.
Transport medical service, advanced emergency medical, fully accredited medical technicians, advanced emergency medical, a Christian-based company locally owned. When you're in trouble with the one to phone, our care and attention stand alone. Advanced emergency.
Every business is different, but B1 Bank knows every business owner has similar needs, from keeping up with payroll to investing in equipment. A trusted bank can help you stay on top of day-to-day finances and plan for future business growth. At B1 Bank, I know I have access to commercial banking experts who care about my business and can guide me to accomplish my goals. B1 Bank knows managing your business isn't simple, but they can help you make it uncomplicated. Learn more at b1bank.com/business.
The following program was pre-recorded.
And we're back here on Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox. Well, Mayor, the city council meeting was held this week. It pushed it back a week. The state holiday was set for Monday the 3rd and for the 4th of July holiday. So offices here were closed on Monday, so you just pushed it back a week. Some interesting things that were covered on the agenda. One of them for sure is one of note for a lot of folks that will be interested to hear about, and it was interesting, and you mentioned it in the meeting. It was a authorizing the mayor to execute an agreement with the Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development for a project, and it lists a whole bunch of stuff, but it lists Kansas City Southern Railroad Overpass, but that's not really what that information was about, and it really had to do with the lights at the Interstate Exit 47.
The State Department of Transportation came to me and said, we have money set aside. Now, this is early on in like January.
Yeah.
They came to me and said, we have money set aside, allocated, to do 90% of a lighting project for the city of Minden's Exit 47 interstate intersection there to light the city exit up.
And for note, it's been dark over there for a good while.
And then we got into kind of the side discussion about why our lights aren't working. And there's a number of reasons why.
That would be a good, if you want to dive into that, that's okay.
Well, supposedly before my time as mayor and before this council's time on the council, the lights, there were some construction projects out on I-20. And the story I've been told is, the lighting wires got damaged by a subcontractor of the state. And then the city of Minden and the DOTD, state DOTD, have been arguing about whose fault it was for 6 years. And it kind of occurred to me over the last few months that we can spend another 6 years arguing about it and get nowhere, or we could take advantage of this funding that they have available to redo the lights on the interstate. Then old lights are old.
Yeah.
They're dim. When you go through there, the ones that are burning, are very dim. It's almost like candlelight.
So this won't be just a turn the lights back on. It's going to be a complete rehab.
Those poles are going down. New poles will go up. Now, I don't even know how many poles yet because they haven't designed it. They would not even spend the money, which in a way makes sense. They wouldn't spend the money designing the project until we said we'd be willing to partner with them on it with our 10%. But these are new lights. I believe they said they'd be 100 foot in the air.
Oh, wow.
LEDs.
Nice.
That would be super bright. But another thing that's interesting about the lighting on I-20 is the city of Minden has to pay the light bill. Once the state does the project, they turn it over to the city.
Mm-hmm.
So when the light bulbs need change, that's on us to change the light bulbs. Well, these are designed to where you can lower them to the ground.
Oh, wow.
You don't have to get a bucket truck on I-20, which is something we really don't enjoy doing.
Yeah, well, would we have a bucket truck that would even reach that height?
That's a 100 foot. I
wouldn't think so.
Seriously doubt that. It would be quite an undertaking, but this is going to be a much more energy efficient, brighter, better solution for us. And when you drive through there, if you really think about traveling, when you're traveling down the interstate and you want to stop somewhere, do you want to stop somewhere where it's dark, or do you want to stop somewhere where it's lit? Having it lit makes you feel safe. It makes it look like it's open for business. Having the bright LEDs will make us look like prosperity,
yeah,
like a place that you would be able to get what you need safely.
I was about to say security really kind of is a big thing, especially, and that's a busy interchange right there. You have all of our hotels are on that exit, so I know that probably would bring some peace of mind for folks getting off at that exit.
I think it's going to be a big win and really put our best foot forward for anybody that's passing through.
Yeah, and that's a, like I said, that's the main exit to Minden, so that's really the one you want to be lit up. So is there any kind of indication on what the cost for total cost of the project is and what the city's portion will be?
When we first started talking, it was projected to be close to $5 million, so the city's part would be $500,000. But as we've gone along, the prices are actually going down.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Because we were riding the heels of COVID. Now things are loosening up a little bit. And now they're looking at it to be as low as $300,000. Our part would be $350,000.
Oh, wow.
And the project may come in at more like $3.5 million.
So, obviously, either A, more funds are available, or B, the price of the project's gone down?
The price of the project's gone down.
Oh, okay. Well, that's always a good thing as well. So, you know, that all being said, how hard was it to find that 10% matching funds for the project?
The big debate that I had and the council had is this how we want to use the funds if we even had them?
Yeah.
We have... Really, there's three or four different funding places we could fund that project with. Right now, we've got it allocated to come out of our American Rescue Funds, and that may be what we do if some of our other options fall through. I know Councilman Roy, Michael Roy, has been working on applying for a grant for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know if you'll get it or not.
Yeah.
And there's deadlines and information we didn't have at the time.
And it's always a situation where if you do get the funding, you can just replace the money with where you expended it.
We can change the strategy. Another place I'm going to be pursuing is through the state capital outlay. I'm going to request that they help us with our match, too.
Okay. Well, and, you know, just to kind of circle back, that American Rescue Plan, that is money that was given to the city through the state. That's part of that COVID funding that came to the local community. And I'm assuming, if I recall right, there's some very strict parameters on how that money has to be spent. Or I know at one time they were kind of holding back because they wanted to see how the state required us to spend that money. Is that right?
That was a wise move because the criteria for usage went from extremely strict to, at this point, if you got under $10 million, you can pretty much spend it on anything that's reasonable. They've really loosened the restriction. Criteria.
Well, that kind of makes it a little bit more, in this situation especially, to give you a little, at least, you know, starting in, we've got this money we can pull from if we can't find it elsewhere.
That's right. It's a good place to find some. We want to use the ARPA money for one-time expenses.
Exactly.
Never on anything reoccurring. The only place to this point we have used the ARPA funds is the water tower. And we used about 10% of the ARPA funds on the water tower.
I got you. And that project just wrapped up. Have there been any complaints on the new fence that went up around the water tower yet?
Let me knock on wood. I have honestly had zero complaints.
Yeah, it looks really nice, I will say.
It's a nice fence. They came to me and said the state of Louisiana Department of Health and Hospitals required us to put a fence around our water tower for just to protect the water tower from any nefarious deeds.
Yeah, well, you don't want a chain link fence with razor wire across the top either.
I didn't like the idea of putting a fence around it.
Yeah.
And so my requirement was, if we're going to do a fence, I want it to look as nice as humanly possible within reason.
Yeah.
And I think they nailed it.
Yeah. Well, you know, your first complaint won't be until this fall when the fair parade hits.
That's
when the complaints will start rolling into City Hall.
So, I agree with you.
We'll hold that. We'll pull that question back and come back around to it in October. Well, real quickly, we did have a couple of questions that came in. Obviously, again, we were short notice, so I didn't expect a lot of questions to roll in.
Sure.
We did have some. We had one, and you may have to kind of clarify on this. And again, full disclosure, Mayor Nick Cox has no idea what I'm about to ask him, so it's not like these have been premeditated to answer, so he'll be answering them off the cuff. This was one. Somebody said that they had seen a Facebook post about people collecting donations for a new animal shelter. Is this a city project, or is this something outside of the city of Minden here? Or are you aware of this?
to be honest with you, I don't really know where it's coming from.
Exactly.
I know we have people that are very passionate about us doing the animal shelter. I can tell you that the council has intent on working towards getting a new animal shelter.
Mm-hmm.
This fundraiser effort is something that was done before my time that's never been put away, so it's still active. But as far as who's doing what and over that, I'm really not sure. I know we have cards in the reception area at City Hall that tell you how to donate, but I'm really not sure who the leader of that effort is.
I got you. So it's not something that's being technically spearheaded by the city.
The fundraising part is something that, I mean, we probably ought to get a little better system down and candidly take control of that fundraising effort better.
Understood. Well, especially if it's going to be a city project.
And it's something on my radar, because I also saw the post and I thought, well, I guess if people are going to raise money, we better know how that money's being handled and make sure it's allocated towards the animal
exactly
shelter.
Especially I guess that's where the mixed funds kind of come in. You want to be careful with that,
right?
Especially
exactly.
But that was the major
question I have too really.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, who's going to be running the animal shelter?
Right,
exactly. It comes from through the city, and the animal shelter, it's been a topic over multiple administrations, so this isn't something that's new.
Right.
Probably needed, I would say.
And we've got some money from the state to help us with that. In our capital outlay this year, I requested, I'm trying to remember how much, I believe it was $30,000 for the animal mm-hmm. shelter, give or take a little. And we will get that money. So we're trying to gather monies ourselves towards it.
Okay, another question that came in was in reference to any litter ordinances that are on the city's ordinances. Specifically, they reference the strip mall by Walmart, and that one comes up a lot. I hear that comment just from people in public and Facebook browsing. Folks complain about that particular area, and I'm going to toss that one to you.
Well, you know, that's private property, and mm-hmm. it's maintained. And I have visited with the man in charge of that maintenance, and he's assured me if I ever get a complaint about it, if I let him know, he'll get it picked up. So that was a discussion I had a few weeks ago on that particular piece of property. Outside of that, we try to pick up the litter. We're more reactive than proactive. The only way to really fix our litter problem is to change the hearts of the people.
Yeah.
And well, that's not an easy thing to do.
I was about to say, easier said than done there. Right. And I will say this, and I think this goes back to the previous administration as well. I believe there were some agreements with the Sheriff's Department to help pick up the certain parts of the city and thoroughfares to keep those areas clean, if I'm not mistaken.
And we renewed that deal, I believe, in February.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's a great deal. Thank you, Sheriff Jason Parker, mm-hmm. for that. That is a fantastic deal. And in addition to that, we also have city crews that pick up trash.
Yeah.
Several different departments take the torch of picking up trash. I try to encourage all of our employees, if you see some trash on city property, pick it up. But again, it's just... You will never overcome litter until people start taking pride.
Yeah, well, ultimately, it is an individual responsibility. Well, Mayor, we'll be back for another segment in just a moment. You're listening to Ask the Mayor with Mayor Nick Cox with the City of Minden here on AM 1240 KASO.
Your ambulance, transport, medical service, advanced emergency medical, fully accredited medical technicians, advanced emergency medical.
Every business is different, but B1 Bank knows every business owner has similar needs, from keeping up with payroll to investing in equipment. A trusted bank can help you stay on top of day-to-day finances and plan for future business growth. at B1 Bank, I know I have access to commercial banking experts who care about my business and can guide me to accomplish my goals. B1 Bank knows managing your business isn't simple, but they can help you make it uncomplicated. Learn more at b1bank.com/business.
The following program was pre-recorded.
And we're back here on AM 1240 KASO. This is Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox. Mayor, appreciate you joining us today for our inaugural edition. Hopefully we won't run you off and you'll come back and make this a monthly thing. Of course, just so you know, this will be generally the first Friday of every month is when we will do this. We're doing it a week later because last week was a holiday and the city council meeting was held a week later. So we both agreed to move it this week. And we may have to do that from time to time. The meeting, if a meeting changes, we generally like to have it on that previous or following that meeting. And, you know, not that we're trying to look for fluff questions for the mayor, but it's, you know, we both agreed that we felt it was important to let the mayor address some of the items on the agenda. Most of it's procedural stuff, and it's kind of easy. I will mention one that we didn't talk about was the getting the bid for a new custom heavy rescue truck for the fire department. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, this year we got a new fire chief, Brian Williams,
mm-hmm.
and when he took over, I encouraged him. If there's a fire station that needs to be repaired, let's talk about it. If there's something y'all are needing, let's talk about it. And he's done a very good job of communicating his needs. Well, one of them was the fire rescue truck that we currently have is extremely old. And mm-hmm. by extremely old, I mean extremely old. I believe he told me the bed of the truck is held on by 2x4s.
Oh, wow.
So it was time for a new one. We know we're going to have to invest and reinvest into things that are valuable to the city.
Mm-hmm.
We're very proud of our great fire rating. We want to keep it that way. That keeps the prices down for all the citizens and so on their insurance. And so, you know, this truck would be a very nice asset to his strategy in keeping us with fire protection. So I asked him how much a brand new one was. He said between $800,000 and $900,000,
mm-hmm.
and it would take 2 years to get it. And I said, well, Brian, we don't have $800,000 or $900,000. We can't do that. What's plan B? And he said, we could try to find a good used one. And they're not just available every day. In fact, mm-hmm. we had to go all the way to Alabama to get the one we had.
That we approved.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand this one came in at like $300,000+, if I'm
That's
not mistaken.
Right. It was $315,000, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so. So, you know, and this one's available now. So once the paperwork's signed, are they going to get it or is it being delivered? How's that working?
We should get it pretty quick. I believe they're going to bring it to us.
That'll be nice. And that was one of the items. And of course, there were several policy adjustments, and we'll kind of
explain that IT policy to you.
Yeah, well, I was going to say there was a series of four policies. One was the backup recovery procedures, the information technology recovery, and then debt management, sexual harassment. And most of those are just, these were all done by the city auditor. They were recommendations from them. I'm assuming all of these policies are probably on paper. They just were kind of tightening up, if
That's
you will.
That's right. Well, we needed to have them in our procedures just so we were covered. But like I said, I'd like to explain the IT policy
Absolutely.
To you. And I read through it, and I believe it was 24 pages long.
Mm.
And the reason I won't explain it is because I have no idea what it means.
Well, it's information technology, yeah.
That's right. It's so technical. But it's nice to know if we had a disaster, we have an IT disaster policy. How do we recover all the city's data?
Exactly.
We have a policy for that. If something happened to our IT directors, it says in there, here's what you would do if you're a new IT director and your old IT team vacated. So it's a plan for us to continue on.
Well, information technology, malware attacks, spamware attacks, you're seeing it more and more prevalent. Even in the radio industry, there was a national satellite network that was basically crippled
really
for about a week because somehow or another a hacker was able to get in and completely crippled their satellite network distribution to hundreds of radio stations across the country.
Wow.
So, you know, and you're exactly right. That's something you need to have a plan to be able to navigate something like that. And
you remember Y2K?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was scared of it.
Oh, it was,
and
it was a big deal.
And half the people were like, I don't care if technology fails. And then the other half were like, it'll be the end of the world. Well, now, 23 years later, it would be the end of the world. And
pendulum has definitely shifted, that is for sure. But, yeah, those were four policies that the that was set up, recommended through the auditors. That's and right. I'm assuming the audit is just about complete for the previous year?
It's finished.
And you'll be hearing from them here in the next month or so, I'm assuming, right. is that way. And real quickly, a couple more questions I wanted to get in before we finished our show today. One is city budget has been going on, and we were originally going to record yesterday, but I didn't want your head swimming with numbers after having to sit through all the budget deliberations. Give us the Reader's Digest version of how the process works from start to finish.
Well, we're still in the beginning of the process.
Mm-hmm.
So we've worked with the department heads last month in June.
That's the wish list kind of thing.
Got the wish list. Then we bring all the department heads in and tell them their wishes aren't coming true.
Reality. The dollars are where they are.
And then we start reviewing it. The clerks and myself start reviewing it, and we whittle it down. Then we call those department heads back in. Then we have small workshops with no quorum, but with councilmen to work on it, and where we have extremely candid discussions. Then we're going, and those lasted till 4 o'clock, so we wouldn't have been able to meet anyway. But then we have workshops that are public with the full body of the council, and those will take place. Then we'll go back, and every step of the process, the clerks have to redo the budget. When we start whittling it down, they have to redo it. And so, not completely, but tweak it and adjust it and reprint out and make sure this side reflects that side. After all that's done, then we'll vote on it as a council, and it should be adopted. But it's going really good. I'm extremely proud of the work that we've been doing to get a budget that the citizens of Minden will know that we've been extremely financially responsible.
And that is one of those where you want, at the end of the day, you want the funds to match the expenditures, and you're not pulling from from reserves to kind of balance the budget, if you will.
And just so you know, for the last several years, we had to do that.
Yeah.
But this council and myself and the clerk, we don't feel like that is a sustainable plan.
Mm-mm.
So we're trying our best to get that pulling out of our reserves to the extreme minimum we
yeah.
can. At this point right now, we're looking pretty good, though.
That's a good thing. A couple of other things real quickly, and this one's been a hot topic lately, and it's not really – anything more than just enforcing what's in place, and that is the issue with city cutoffs as far as the light and water. Those, you know, I remembered seeing, of course, not everybody realizes city has a City of Minden app, and they push out information a lot of times as things come available. And I remember saying city cutoffs will start if you don't have your light bill paid by X date, it's going to be cut off. And I was like, well, that's new. I've never seen that one pop up before. But basically, I know a lot of folks were kind of alarmed at first, but as you came on Facebook and made a post in regards to it, this is basically policy that's been in place for a good while.
All the policies we have right now on our light and water department that we're enforcing are from 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So they're almost 10 years old. The big difference is you've got a mayor who really likes technology, really wants to do all I can to be transparent. I want to use every tool we have to talk to the people and mm-hmm. let folks know what we're doing.
Yeah.
And every time I do that, it opens me up to criticism.
Nature of the beast, huh?
So the more I say, the more criticism I get. And that, but, you know, if we're going to do cutoffs, I want y'all to know cutoffs
exactly.
are coming. So if you haven't paid your bill, let this serve as a reminder. If you got the City of Minden app, you'll be very informed on what's going on. Mm-hmm. If you have Facebook, we try our best to push everything to CASO. That's a great place to get out information also.
Thanks for the plug.
You're welcome. And so, yeah, we try our best to get the word out, but it does seem like the more I try to tell people, the more criticism I get. But that's okay.
Well, let's talk about the policy. Okay. The light bills come at the first of the month.
That's
They're
right.
due by the 10th by or the 11th, depending on when that 10th day
if
falls.
If there's a holiday or a weekend or just something weird, we'll push it back.
Yeah.
But the due date for the light bills is the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can bank on that. It's the 10th.
Every month.
If you pay it by the 10th, there's no harm, no foul. Ever. Just pay it by the 10th. A good bulk of our citizens do direct draft, too, and that takes a lot of the stress out of it. But some people don't want that huge utility bill being raptured out of their bank account,
yeah, understandable.
And I understand that, too. From the 10th till the last Tuesday of the month is kind of like
last chance time.
Yeah, it's a long period of time. It's 2 or 3 weeks.
Correct.
Depending on how long the month goes and the way the Tuesdays fall. But the last Tuesday of the month usually is in the 20s, 21, 20, you know, and that's cutoff day. So after the 10th, you get a small penalty for being after the due date. The due date
correct
is the 10th. After the cutoff date, you get put on the cutoff list. And our policy says there's a $25 fee assessed for failure of payment.
Mm-hmm.
So by that cutoff day, if you have failed to pay, you're assessed
$25.
It's always been like this. We had gotten kind of sloppy, to be honest. And and the citizens of Minden asked me to fix their utility problems. They asked me to fix all these problems. And we've got to understand that I can't fix it without fixing it.
Yeah.
I can't work on stuff without working on it.
Yeah.
So.
And really all you're doing is enforcing something that was already in place.
It's already enforced. I'm just talking about it more.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's just being done
out there
and being consistent with
and
it.
Being followed. The policy's being followed.
Correct.
We had honestly gotten to where you could go 2 or 3 months without paying your utility bill.
Have mercy.
And the trouble with that was it was some folks.
It was not consistent even there, yeah.
And the trouble with that is if you had, let's say you lived in a rent house and you had let it, we had let you go 2 or 3 months without paying your utility bill and you owed us $1,200 and you happen to be moving to Bossier, guess who doesn't pay the utility bill?
Exactly.
And guess who pays the utility bill? The citizens of Minden. And we
Somebody's
all share. That all gets factored into our energy costs. So when the mayor is lax on his policies, it actually
it costs
drives
the citizen.
Up cost for well, the citizens.
Well, let's talk about it. How much of a response have you seen since that policy has been
goodness.
Enforced? How's the cutoff list looked at, basically?
Yeah, that's a great question. When we started the first month, the cutoff list had 800 people.
Good night. And how many people, just for ballpark figures, how many people get a utility bill in the City of Minden Light System?
I believe
kind
we
of
have
ballpark.
7,000 meters, give or take a little.
Golly.
That's more than I thought.
So literally almost
10%.
Almost 10%. That is insane.
Really a little over 10%.
Yeah, really. I guess it is.
Yeah.
And what is that? How's that whittled down now? Has it gone? Has that number gone down?
This cutoff list was just barely over 100.
Man, so you have seen a lot of positive momentum from that.
Yeah,
so that's a good deal.
It yes.
And two, there are some, just for folks that know, if you do have your lights cut off, there are some parameters with the Public Works Commission that they will. Certain times of the year, they won't allow you to cut off for extreme weather conditions,
this
I think.
This month was one of them. July was hot.
Yeah.
And cutoff day was the last Tuesday. No, I'm sorry. The last Tuesday of June. June was hot.
Mm-hmm.
And we set the cutoff day. We want that day to be permanent. The goal is to try to get paid before the month's out.
Exactly.
So you're not racking up another bill and another bill and another bill. The cutoff day was the last Tuesday of the month. It was over 100. So we I mean, we didn't move the cutoff day. We just didn't cut off until it dropped down below 100.
Yeah, well, you're trying to be,
fair.
It's a hard line to walk, but you don't want somebody out there roasting as well.
We really don't want to cut off utilities.
Exactly. That's
we,
the
we
end
really
game.
We don't at all. And the best way to keep things right is to do them according to policy.
Well, real quick, we'll end with this one, and this one's always been, it's been here recently a hot button topic. It's one that I hear in the community, and that is the social media page for the city, and you know where I'm headed with this before and I didn't ask Mayor before we started. Again, he hears them as I send them to him live, so.
We may need to change that.
Yeah, live and pre-recorded, but anyway, that is the commenting on Facebook usually is either A, limited, or B, no commenting allowed on posts from the city of Minden. And there's people that get upset about that thinking, okay, well, we're not able to comment on that. Just kind of address what you set forth on the policy on that or whatever policy is in place on that.
I would love to explain this. My thought process is, first of all, the city of Minden Facebook page it's an FYI. Mm-hmm. We're putting something out there for you to know. It's not for us to debate on. I don't feel like the city Facebook page is a place to have a debate.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to take that, we always let you share it. If you want to take that post and share it on your personal page and let people debate and say your opinion and let them share theirs, go for it. Mm-hmm. But as far as the actual city of Minden Facebook page, I don't feel like that's a place for debate. Now, here's why. Last year, for whatever reason, for reasons, we were targeted nationally by I don't understand how it works. I don't understand what their end game is. I don't understand what the value in it is. But we were targeted by people all over the country that were mad at the city of Minden. They decided they're going to be mad at us for something that happened within our boundaries mm-hmm. that they weren't happy with. They were calling City Hall, talking to our receptionist, the mayor's assistant. This was before I was the mayor, but this happened after I was elected. It was at the end of last year. And they were saying the most heinous things. On our Facebook page, they were posting explicit things, mm-hmm. words, things that you and I wouldn't even fathom saying on Facebook. And they weren't Minden citizens.
Yeah.
They were people from – and so I talked to Tommy Davis, who was the mayor, and I said, my suggestion, very seriously, let's just turn off comments. It's the Facebook page is really to push it. We got a power outage. Well, there's no need to debate that.
it's a cut and dry situation.
Or City Hall is closed tomorrow. Don't necessarily need to talk about it. It's just a fact, you know.
Yeah.
And so to keep people from what folks have to understand, the city of Minden does not have and is not going to have 24/7 Facebook surveillance.
Exactly.
We don't have employees around the clock doing shift work to answer your questions.
Yeah.
We don't have someone there to monitor when someone wants to be inappropriate. So the answer to that is we're not going to fund that.
It's just one extra avenue to push information.
That's right. It's just a FYI. Here's what's going on. And then you can share it on your own page mm-hmm. and talk about it all you want.
Well, there's always coming to the city council meetings if you want to have an opportunity to ask questions. Meeting.
And City Hall is open from 7:30 to 4, mm-hmm. Most every day except holidays. You're welcome to call me anytime.
Well, Mayor, we appreciate you visiting with us this week. Hope this will be a continual thing. And like I said, this was our inaugural one, so I'm assuming that questions will kind of flow a little bit more freely after the first edition, but I believe we covered a good bit of ground in a wide variety of areas, and you know, things come up month to month, so we'll definitely have something to chew on next time around. But we appreciate you joining us today, and like I said, look forward to seeing you again next month in August.
Mark, thanks for having me.
All right, and you've been listening to Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox here on AM 1240 KASO.
If you have a question you would like to ask the mayor for next month's edition, please send an email to askthemayor@kbef.com. by mail at CASA Radio, attention Ask the Mayor, 410 Lakeshore Drive, Minden, Louisiana, 71055, or call the studios at 377-1240. All questions must be received by the Tuesday following the Monday City Council meeting to be included on the program. Thanks for listening to Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox, presented by Advanced EMS.